You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The State Board of Education has just voted along party lines, a 6-2 vote, to approve revised school guidelines to offer a safe, supportive environment for Michigan students who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The board's first set of proposed guidelines was posted earlier this year for public comment, and over 13,000 comments were posted, both pro and con. From that came these revised guidelines. Here with us, the president of the State Board of Education, John Austin. Welcome. And let's start by talking about why these guidelines, these set of practices and policies, are needed. A survey done by the Centers for Disease Control indicates Michigan is not a very supportive place if you are LGBT.
And I'm glad you mentioned it. This is the most recent evidence that, you know, our 150,000 of our young people are LGB, and some growing thousands who are comfortable being who they are, transgender. And those young people are much more likely to be at risk of being put upon, violence, assault, bullying. They're also not engaged in learning when they're afraid to go to school, twice as likely to drop out of school, skip school because the environment is not supportive, five times as likely to have attempted their own life. So we have much to do to make sure that a significant number of our kids are able to engage with school and be accepted and be supported to get a great education like everybody deserves. All of those bad numbers, and we're, again, among the bottom in the country in the school environment for that welcomes LGBT young people, mm-hmm. all that goes away when there is a welcome and supportive environment at school and, you know, you hope in the home as well. But the school we can encourage, and that's what this guidance does. It says, here's some best practices. Here's the kind of ways you can welcome, support, and help engage and go about the business of learning for this significant number of our young people who deserve a great education and also deserve to be safe and treated with dignity and respect like everybody else.
And we need to underscore, these are not mandates. These are suggestions. They're guidelines.
Now, we know, and it came from the field. I mean, educators around the state wanted to know, what are the ways to create an environment that supports and engages and welcomes LGBT young people? Many schools in Michigan are already deploying the kinds of best practices that are in this recommended guidance. But for those who aren't, they were looking for, what do we do and how do we develop policies and practices that really support and celebrate and welcome and acknowledge these kids and meet their unique mm-hmm. learning needs, as well as treat the kind of health and safety challenges that they face very disproportionate from other kids. Just as we would for any group of kids who have particular learning challenges, what do we do about our English language, non-English language speakers? How do we make sure they engage and get educated? How would we do better by our special education kids? How do we treat the unique challenges that African-American males face of being suspended and misunderstood? These are all particular challenges that different groups of kids have, but it's all about helping them stay in school, be accepted, be supported,
and
go about the business of learning and not drop out of school or put, even worse, themselves at risk and their health and safety at risk.
John Austin, I want to talk about the response to that first set of proposed guidelines that went up last spring for public comment. So for many of the public comment sections on issues that the Board of Education posts, you'll see 7 or 10 or maybe a couple of dozen comments. This one, over 13,000. What did that outpouring response say to you personally?
Well, it said that this is A, an important, and B, a topic that we're still learning how to address as a society and as a state. As you've seen around the country, the discussion about LGBT rights, a group that is often among the most ostracized and still attacked and vilified, mm-hmm. and transgender people and young people emerging as a hot topic around how are we beginning to understand, as we have with gay people now, hopefully for some time, that there are transgender people. It's who they are. It's not a lifestyle choice or a game. And they have the same rights, privileges, and ability to be hopefully treated with dignity and respect as all people. And that's part of what you saw in terms of the reaction. Now, I will say, you know, from the get-go, the guidance that was developed, it was actually heralded by many around the country as a real model. Mm-hmm. And all of the folks who work with young people, the associations of social workers, psychiatrists, the pediatricians, the educator groups, the Michigan Parent Teacher Association, all of them weighed in support of the guidance because they appreciate appreciate that these are real learning and life and safety challenges that can be ameliorated if schools help develop the kind of practices and programs and real recognition of LGBT kids that is the key for them thriving and not feeling shoved aside or shunted, and then they can go about the business of learning. So the professionals who work with young people really appreciate that this is important and we can solve these challenges and help these kids learn. There was some of it fanned deliberately, misunderstanding and fears of mm-hmm. transgender people and kids. Mm-hmm. Some of it was unfortunate pot stirring by anti-Common Core groups, why they care about LGBT kids. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But legitimate concerns about from parents and others.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about
those.
That we did
listen to, and the guidance has been significantly clarified and improved to meet those legitimate concerns.
Yeah, let's talk about, because I wondered as you read these comments opposing the guidelines as that first draft came out, and you saw something and you went, oh, okay, they've got a point there. We can address that. So what kind of points did you feel like, all right, there is a legitimate concern here?
Well, there are two main topics of discussion mm-hmm. and concern. One was parental involvement and notification. If your son or daughter is transgender, are they by themselves switching their identity with no parental notification involvement? And the guidance is now very clearly stating, of course we want parents involved. Parents should work with the school to decide how their daughter or son should be treated, named, et cetera.
Pronouns to right? be used, yes.
With the caveat that there may be some rare instances, just as there are very rare instances where there is abuse in the home, mm-hmm. where educators can use their good judgment if the child's coming out to their parents. May put them at physical harm or safety risk. Educators can help determine that and treat each case on a case-by-case basis, and that seems very commonsensical.
That's right.
The other main topic was changing rooms and bathrooms.
We had to get to that. That bathroom right. and locker room issue is such a hot-button issue.
And, again, we encourage, and the guidance is very clear, there are lots of ways, and we encourage them and give examples where you can meet the needs of all kids to have a private or comfortable or safe place to go to the bathroom. Encourage, of course, gender-neutral bathrooms are often the best solution, and including what a transgender child will most often want. The right for privacy or private changing area in the locker room, that should be available for all young people that want it, not just transgender kids. But it does remind districts that under the current civil rights law interpretation, transgender children are able to, and their right is to go to the gender, the bathroom and the locker room of their gender identity. And that's just a reminder, the civil rights law as it stands, it's being challenged, but I think it'll likely hold in terms of the appropriate interpretation, suggests that, yes, transgender children have the right to go to the bathroom if they choose of their gender identity.
We saw an immediate response from Senator Tom Casperson with a proposed bill that would very much change that conversation and change that point
right,
of view.
Right, the bathroom bills. But the other thing that this guidance does, and it's mm-hmm. very important, it sends a message about who we are in Michigan. Yes, we are a state that in our public policies, in our voluntary encouragement to school districts, that we really do want to be welcoming and inclusive. And we do want to respect and acknowledge LGBT young people and adults. And that's an important message to send. The bathroom bills, like in North Carolina, and what was proposed here in response to this, again, voluntary encouragement to schools to create a safe learning environment, they send a terrible message. They're basically saying, we don't want you here. We don't acknowledge you exist, LGBT young people or adults, and we're going to dictate your gender identity. And that's a terrible message, and you see what happened when it was sent in North Carolina. You have companies from Target to PayPal and even the NBA saying, we're not going to do business with a state that is sending messages that you're discriminating, basically, against some of your people.
Well, John, how did you respond? And I'm sure you, through the months since these guidelines first came out for public comment and you'd encounter people, there was a real strong strain of concern from parents who just said, I don't know what my little girl's going to make of somebody who'd been in her class as a boy since kindergarten and suddenly coming into her locker room as a female in fifth grade. So there was a lot of concern about what about my kids' rights. So how did you respond to that?
Well, the kids actually get it. I mean, they're, if anything, this next generation is more welcoming and supportive that there are gender identities that both blur and are different than what the older generation, you know, it's you're male or female and that's it. And we're at a point now in society, in this country, where just as maybe 15 or 20 years ago we began to acknowledge, look, there are gay people. There probably always have been. And they deserve the same rights and dignity, and they're my friends and my neighbors and even my spouse or siblings. There are transgender people and transgender school children, and they deserve to be embraced and supported and acknowledged. And also, there's never been an episode of transgender people attacking other people. They are the victims of abuse, as that CDC study showed. They're twice as likely, LGBT young people, twice as likely in Michigan and elsewhere to be the targets of violence and sexual abuse. And so they're not the ones causing problems in the bathrooms. They're trying to fit in as a boy or as a girl. And the other kids accept them. And I think, you know, hopefully more adults can accept them as well, because this is who they are.
The guidelines are lengthy, but if you were to summarize these guidelines that you are revealing today after you know, being worked on, following review of the comments, what do they say?
They say, here's a set of common sense things schools can do to create an environment that acknowledges, respects, and supports and is supportive of LGBT young people so they can stay in school and be going about the business of learning. It also points out how transgender youth can be both acknowledged, respected, and have their rights respected, but all in the context of local schools working out the best approach to solve what appear to be sticky issues like bathrooms and locker rooms that maximize the health and safety and comfort of all the kids and respect the rights of the LGBT kids. It can be done. But I think, as I indicated, the guidance sends a message that, yes, we want to be supportive and inclusive and welcoming of all of our people in our great diversity, and we want them to get a great education. And right now they're not. And if for any reason any kid is not sticking in school or is putting themselves, their health or safety is at risk, that's our job to create an environment where they thrive and can learn and can go about having a great life. And that's what this guidance is mostly about.
John Austin, president of the State Board of Education. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.